Good morning. It is a blessing to be here, and I pray that we all know that we believe that, and we're willing to live that. Let's remember that the sign out in front of this building, that's not a title, rather that's a description of God's people that gather together here. We're happy to see each and every one of you. If there's a visitor amongst us, let's make sure that we let them feel and know that they are welcome. And for the members, grab one of these welcome packs and give it to the visitor. And make sure they leave with something in their hands. They know that we're concerned about them, we care about them, and we want them to come back. And on that note to visitors, there's a visitor card in front of you. If you would fill that out, please. You thought enough about us to be here this morning. Continue that courtesy and put your name and your address on there, phone number, whatever information you can. So at least we can let you know when we have certain things going on and make contact with you, let you know that we do care about you. And then finally here, for the kids, grab a My Worship note. Do your best, the best you can, follow along in the worship service. And when you're done, at the end of service, give that to me if you would. Parents, I'll save those, and then I'll give them a little something in return for doing that. Also, I wanted to, I got a note here to remind myself to invite you, not only, of course, to stay for Bible class afterwards, but we're doing a young adults Bible class in the annex upstairs. We're going to start talking about how to study your Bible. So young adults, if you put yourself in that age group, of course, we'd love to have you up there. So attend that part of class if you can. I'm going to start off here with a true story. It had been in the 90s, so quite a few years ago. Our first daughter was about 4 years old, probably the same age as Kennedy. And we were attending the Cloverdale Church of Christ, Searcy, Arkansas. And the auditorium was similar to this, quite a bit bigger. I think the membership 500-600 folks, and one Sunday morning we would have been sitting kind of in this area here, if you can kind of picture that in your mind. And Paige was just being naughty. She was being awful, and I kept warning her, "You better straighten up. I'm going to take you out and spank you." You know, it's back in the day when we spanked our kids, right? Wasn't that far ago. And I kept warning her, "Don't do it. You better stop. I'm going to spank you." Well, you know, that time in the service when everyone's quiet, right before the preacher gets up and walks up to the podium, you know, there's no noise. Everyone's waiting. You know, that 20, 30 seconds before the preacher gets up here and gets his notes and all that, that perfect silence in the auditorium. It was during that time I told Paige, I said, "That's it. I'm taking you out and spanking you." She jumps up on the pew and yells as loud as she can, "Please, Daddy, don't beat me." Now, what would you do? Well, have you ever been, you know, it seemed like everyone's heads at once turned right towards us. And I swear the preacher didn't start to kind of see how it would play out. And, you know, if you've been so embarrassed, your ears are just red, your face is red. You ever been that embarrassed? Well, I was. And I felt like, you know, I could read the minds of people. You know, all the dads were saying, "Good luck, buddy." And all the moms are saying, "You better discipline that girl." You know, maybe all the grandmas are saying, you know, "You better not spank that cute, sweet little girl." You know, all the older brothers are probably thinking, "You better whip her because my sister always gets away with everything," right? And so, well, I did the only thing I could do. I took her out in the foyer and I spanked her. But I remember that so vividly because I was so embarrassed. So worried about what people think. You know, I thought I knew what they were thinking. But of course we don't, right? We don't know what other people are thinking. You know, Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, was told to go anoint the new king of Israel. Jesse's got all his boys lined up. David wasn't there, and Eliab, the oldest, Samuel's thinking, you know, "Look at this young man. Tall, handsome. You know, this has got to be the new king." And God says in verse 7, I believe, No. You're looking at the outside, Samuel. He said, I look at the inside. See, that's the thing about it. God looks at our inside. Well, we don't know what each other's thinking. And we can make a guess, but we really don't know, do we? 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, we are admonished to examine ourselves, to look within. Well, when's the last time you tested yourself? When's the last time you examined yourself to see if Jesus Christ is in you? As Paul says, unless indeed you be disqualified. When's the last time you've done that? Maybe it's been a little bit too long. We're going to talk about that a little bit more this morning as we think about our text here, Revelation chapter 2. And I want you to really think about what's going on here in the text. And we're going to read something here that we need to reflect upon. Of course, the title of the lesson, Have I Left My First Love? And so let's do a little bit of reading here. And we're going to start off in chapter 2, verse 1, Revelation. And so here's this letter, John, was given to talk to the Church of Christ at Ephesus. And he says these things here are from the one, verse 1 here, who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven gold lampstands. In other words, he has all authority. The one that's going to tell you these things has the right to tell you these things. He said, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Now, I apologize, the font, when I transferred it from my computer to this, seems to be a little bit off, so just kind of bear with that a little bit there. You can look in your Bible. Now, before we continue here, the church at Ephesus. Now, if you were able to go back in a time machine, if you could, and you were able to attend worship with that congregation, my guess is when you left, you'd be saying, wow. Now, that's an active congregation. Man, do you see all the stuff they're doing? Wow, that's a faithful, active congregation, the Lord's church, that Church of Christ at Ephesus. Matter of fact, when they began, you can go back to Acts chapter 19, verses 19 and 20, when that congregation began to show their dedication to the Lord, they burned 50,000 pieces of silver worth of ungodly material. In today's money, that could be up to $3.25 million worth of material. And that really showed their dedication to the Lord. So I think on the outside, kind of what he's saying there, and he is building up saying, you're doing these things good. But I think if we could have been a part of that, we'd leave saying, wow, that's such an active congregation. But, verse 4, now here's the problem. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You see, verse 4 is the problem. We're going to see the answer in verse 5. So what's the problem? Well, on the outside, it looked like they're active and doing all of these things. But along the way, they lost their way. Something happened. And they left their first love. They had all the actions right. But the why, the reasons for why they're doing what they're doing, something was off there. It looked good, but something's missing there. Let me ask you this here. Why are you here this morning? What's your motivation? To keep your spouse happy? Your family happy? See, I went to church. You know, why are you here? Are you here because you love Jesus? What's your motivation? Are you here out of habit? Now, don't get me wrong. I think to a degree, a habit is good. It creates discipline. And sometimes, you know, when we're not feeling the proper why, the right motives, habit kind of keeps us going in the right direction, if you will, for a little while. But we got to get the why back, the heart back in it. But are you here maybe just out of habit? We need to test ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. Now, why are we here this morning? We cannot forget the why. They forgot the why. And he says, I have this against you, that you left your first love. Have you left your first love? Have we left our first love? Why are we here? Now, before we look at the text here in verse 5, I want to show you just a little way to examine yourself. A quick little acrostic to kind of get you thinking here. We're going to use the word first, F-I-R-S-T. So maybe you're here this morning, you're thinking, well, have I left my first love? Maybe you're thinking, boy, I'm on that fence. It could go either way. I'm straddling that fence of faith. You know, just the right or wrong thing to happen, I go either way. Or you're thinking, I don't know if I've left my first love. Well, this will help you. There's other ways, but this is an easy one to remember. Let's talk about this so you can examine yourself real quick. What's your focus? Here's a way to examine yourself. When you wake up in the morning, what's your focus? God, give me strength to give you glory this day. Is that your focus? First thing is on God. God, help me this day to glorify you, to live like Christ, to reflect Christ to the world around me. What's your focus in the middle of the day? What's your focus at the end of the day when you lay down your head to go to sleep? What's your focus? Lord, thank you for this day. Forgive me for my failures. Thank you for Jesus. You know, what's your focus? If your focus is only on God once a week, when you come here, maybe you've left your first love. Income, number two here, and yes, matters of faith are tied together with matters of the pocketbook. What do you spend your money on? What gets your money? Do you give Netflix and Amazon Prime more money than the Lord's church? Right? Is your focus so off that you don't consider that giving's part of your worship? And when you show up in the morning, you're like, oh, I forgot, there's that basket thing. I guess I'll give them what's left in my pockets. Or you're a cheerful giver, you thought it out. Right? What do you do with that? That'll help you examine yourself to see if you left your first love. How about relationships? Who are you involved in relationships out there in the world? Ungodly people? You know, who are your friends, your acquaintances? Who do you spend time with? Are they helping you grow closer to God? If not, maybe you've left your first love, or maybe they're about to pull you away. Service. What does your service to the Lord look like? And we'll put this last one here, and we'll talk about both of these together here. You know, what gets your time? You know, Paul says there in Ephesians 5, you know, basically you better use your time wisely because the days are evil. And so you better walk wisely, walk circumspectly. Well, what gets most of your time? What, 168 hours in the week? Well, Lord, I'll give you an hour on Sunday morning, but the rest is for me. So therefore, that kind of rules out much of your service to the Lord too, doesn't it? And I know there's many, many different ways to serve the Lord. And it's not just here in this building. But if you don't even think about your service to the Lord, maybe you've left your first love. You know, on most cell phones, I left my cell phone there. You can, smartphones, you swipe to the left. It'll show you what you've been watching on your phone. It'll tell you, you know, Facebook, 5 hours this week. Netflix, 3 hours this week. Internet, 8 hours this week. It'll break down how much time you're staring at that thing. What's your prayer life look like? What's your study life look like? What's your time gathered with the brethren look like? And compare the two and be honest. Maybe you left your first love. All right, so now here's the thing. God never tells us what to do without telling us how to do it. Right? He never says, here's a problem, never gives us the answer. Verse 4 is a problem. Verse 5 is the answer. So you took a test like that and you go, yeah, I think I've left my first love. I'm going to be honest about it. Or again, you're on the fence. You think, you know, it could go either way. I find myself wanting in several of these areas. What do I do? I want you to notice the answer he gives there in verse 5. The first word, I'm reading out of the New King James here, remember. Maybe this is what you need to remember, Psalm 105. Maybe it's things like this you have to sit back and remember and meditate upon. Psalm 105 and verse 1 and following. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done. His wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Maybe that's what you need to remember. If you left your first love, he's saying, I want you to remember some things. And there's a lot of things that we might need to remember. Maybe we need to remember the glory of God. Maybe we need to remember our salvation. When's the last time you thought about the day that you obeyed the gospel? For those who are New Testament Christians here this morning, it might have been a year ago, several years ago, it might have been decades ago. Maybe that's what you forgot. Do you remember that day when you said, it's no longer me, but it's all about Jesus? I'm going to die to self. Do you remember that day? When you came up out of the watery graves of baptism, knowing that you are now victorious in Christ, defeating Satan in your life, do you remember that day? Maybe that's what you need to think about. What is it that you've forgotten? Remember you said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm going to repent of my sins and I'm going to be clothed with Christ in baptism. Because I need my sins washed away. When's the last time you thought about that? Is that what you need to remember? Do you need to remember who you are in Christ? We are a forgetful people. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. You know, 2 Peter, a good way to remember this book, it's a book of caution. Just 3 chapters. Chapter 1's the right story. Chapter 2, you could say he talks about the wrong story. But chapter 3 is all about you better choose right. Which story you're going to listen to, the right or the wrong story, because Jesus is coming back. And throughout this book, over and over and over again, he says, remember, remember, remember. I don't want you to forget. And just a couple of verses here to consider in this. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me read verses 1 and 2. Beloved, he's talking to Christians. I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Drop down to verse 8, same chapter. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slowness. But he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to him in repentance. You know, here's the thing about it. Maybe we need to remember this. And then we'll move on to our second point here. God is not limited by time like we are. right? When we think of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, you know, we believe it, but that was something that happened 2,000 years ago. You know, we try to wrap our mind around that event the best we can, that event that happened so long ago. But you see, God is not limited by time. In other words, I believe that to mean Jesus still feels the pain of the nails in his hands and in his feet as if it just happened, that he just got off the cross. And so when I leave him as my first love, I believe he still feels that pain when he died in your law place on the cross. It wasn't some ancient event for him some 2,000 years ago. He just got off of that cross for you. Maybe that's what we need to remember. Number two, repent. If you look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, repent now. Just looking at the language, just a basic definition of the word repent, it means you're going to change the way you think. So therefore, you're going to change the way you feel, the way that you act. That's what repentance is all about. Change the way that you think. I used to think about living for Sean, but I knew that that led to death. So I'm going to repent, change the way I think, and live for Christ. Change the way you think, change the way you feel, change your life. Maybe what we need to remember, number one, concerning repentance, is what we have access to. In Acts chapter 26, in verse 20, we have Paul here speaking. He's talking to King Agrippa. And he says in verse 19, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout the whole region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent. Well, Paul, what does that mean? Explain a little further. Then he says, turn to God. I was turned away from God, but now I'm going to turn to God. Well, Paul, what does that consist of? He says, and do works befitting of repentance. Maybe that's what you need to work on. Change the way you think. Change the direction that you're going. Take massive change if you have to. Right? I know many times when we're listening to a preacher, I've heard a lot of preachers, and I've heard that message. Like, yes, I need to do that. Yes, I get that. I know I need to fix that. And you might even be here right now feeling convicted of knowing you need to make a change, but what happens? It's almost like we're programmed sometime just because of habit. I don't know what it is. Service is over. You know, that couple minutes between, I guess, here in Bible class or maybe if you plan on leaving after worship. Something, you know, gets turned back off by the time you make it to your car in the parking lot. And now it's just back to regular life. And you become distracted, wrong self-talk, all of those things we've been talking about. You know, you start telling yourself, I can't make those changes. Oh, well, I'll just get back with life. But maybe you need to make massive change in your habit, in your routine, to get you out of that spiritual rut. What is it that you need to do? Maybe you need to remember what you have access to. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want you to think about this. He's talking to Christians. I want you to think about the blood of Jesus. I've heard this before. It's a great illustration. This is how I like to remember it. The blood of Jesus is like a windshield wiper. The sin that's going to fall is the rain. But I have that windshield wiper, right? The blood of Jesus to continuously cleanse me. And it's seen in Jesus being my advocate. Same book, chapter 2 and verse 1. Maybe we need to remember what we have access to. Maybe we need to remember and repent because in that time of living for self, you know, maybe we ended up thinking, well, I don't really need access to Jesus. I'm pretty good. Right? I'm righteous enough on my own. I don't really need Jesus. And whatever the situation is, we can all repent. We can all do some mind changing to one degree or another. Maybe that's why we've left our first love. Be honest in asking yourself that and answering that question. When we think about repenting, we think about what God is calling us to do. We need to remember that we're weak and broken people. We need to remember that we can't make it without Jesus. We need to remember that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We need to remember and repent because we got a sin problem. Now, if you looked at chapter 1, verse 8, same book, he says, if you say that you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not in you. We make him a liar. You read between verses 8 and 10 there. We all got a sin problem. And if you think that you don't, I encourage you to read verse 8 and then verse 10. And then Romans 3 and verse 23. We all have a sin problem. Number 3 here, I want you to read this with me. Remember, number 1, repent. Number 2, number 3, redo. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen from, repent and do the first works. Now, we're going to change do to redo. Now, I think I can do that with biblical proof. And one of many places, that word there used in the original language. If you have your Bibles, go back to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 9, this same word is used, but it's rendered a little bit different. It's the same exact word in the Greek, but it's rendered a little bit different here. I want you to see if you can pick it out. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 9, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day which I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue my covenant and I disregarded them, says the Lord. Look at this. Not according to the covenant that I made. That's that word. That's the same word, I made. That's the same word as do in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. Here it's rendered, I made. Now, have you ever turned on your computer and it just wasn't started? What do you do? Well, you reboot it, right? Or you open up a website, a page on the internet, and it's not loading. What do? Well, you refresh the page, right? Sometimes you have something of value and it breaks. What do? Well, you rebuild it. You remake it. That's what this word means. That's what we're thinking about here. Redo, rebuild, remake, reconstruct. Have you left your first love? Yeah, I guess I have, or I'm about to. Well, I need to remember some things, right? I need to repent of some things, right? Well, then I need to redo some things. And here's the good news here. We have a God of second chances. It doesn't matter how far you've fallen. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made, how lazy you've been spiritually. We have a God of second chances. He says, I'll let you have a redo. Let's rebuild this thing. You know, God's not some cosmic cop just waiting for you to mess up so he can bust you. He's an all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful creator that wants you to be successful. In this race that we run that we need endurance for, Hebrews 12, verse 1. You know, a good way, this is at least for me, you know, Jesus is there at the finish line and he's urging me to finish. Whether I'm running, you know, for the folks that can run this race and just sprint and do what, you know, I'm happy for you. But most of us have to walk this race, crawl this race, because we fall down, we make mistakes, we get bruised, we get bloodied up. But the point is, you get back up and you finish that race. And most of us, when we finish that race, we're going to be a little bit bruised, a little bit beat up, but that's okay. We're going to finish that race because we didn't give up. We had that redo. Think of any character in the Bible. Almost all of them, you think they needed a redo, right? David, a man after God's own heart. We know the story about David, adultery, murder, all that kind of stuff. David got a redo. Read his redo in Psalm 51. You want to be moved? Right there. Peter denied the Lord three times. I always thought about when he denied the Lord three times, you read in the text, that Jesus looked at Peter. What was on the face of Jesus? Can you imagine his expression? I'm sure it was one of sadness and disappointment. Peter got a redo. Saul, Paul, persecuting the church, right? Paul got a redo. You get a redo. Don't let past failures be an indication of future results. If you failed 10,000 times, you get to start again. Our God is long-suffering. Every day that we're alive, every heartbeat that we have, every breath that we take, it's an example, a manifestation of God's patience with us to start over. We all get a start over. Let that be today. The last thing that he mentions here, he says, remove. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen, repent and do or redo the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, I know contextually he's talking to the congregation there, and I believe that's in reference to God's blessing presence at lampstand. We're thinking individually this morning, and I guess to an extension, all of us as a body of believers. You know, when we obey the gospel, Acts 2:38, when we repent and we're baptized, our sins are removed, we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe with that, and other places, Ephesians chapter 1, 11 through 13, that means it's not something miraculous. I think that God just seals us. Now he looks at us different. I used to belong to the world, now I belong to God. He sees me differently now because of who I am in Christ. And the warning here to the church at Ephesus is, you know, if you don't do these things, I'm going to remove my blessing presence from you. What a sad commentary if that ends up being the case. We don't want God to remove his blessing presence from us. Let me read one more passage and the lesson is yours. Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 6. Romans chapter 5. And read with me here beginning in verse 6. And what I love here in this language is Paul, after he talks about faith in chapter 4, and he goes into the blessings that we have even through tribulations, he says, let me tell you how wonderful this Christianity is. And he'll tell us something great. And he says, matter of fact, you think that's great? Let me tell you something even greater. You think that's great? And he goes on and on. He's encouraging us not to give up. He's clarifying what we have in Christ. Just read it with me and we'll offer the Lord's invitation. Verse 6, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know what? That's you and me. We are the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now you think that's awesome, and we should? Look at verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more then, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, look at verse 11, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This morning, if you haven't received reconciliation from God through Jesus, you have that opportunity to do so. When you submit to the gospel, the Lord's gospel, you can begin a new life, a new start. Putting on Christ in baptism, have you done that? If you're thinking about it, let's study that. Now understand, before you do that, you shouldn't make that decision just with no forethought to it. You need to sit down and really think about it, because it's not easy. If you need to obey the gospel, you have that opportunity here in a moment, or anytime. It doesn't have to be after a service. You come to that point, you give me a call, give the elders a call. I don't care if it's 2 in the morning. We'll get you to some water. Maybe you've done that, and along the way you lost your way, you left your first love for whatever reason. Would you come home? Can we show you the love of God? Can we show you that we have a God of second chances that you can restart? Isn't that great news? Can we help you restart this morning? Whatever your situation. Let somebody know, please, as we stand, as we sing. I have decided.